It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue told reporters at the World Dairy Expo in Madison yesterday that family farms may need to get bigger to make it and that small dairy farms may not be viable. We'll get a reaction from the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Now it's time to stand in front of the news fire hose in our weekly look at the latest stories from Washington. Facebook's CEO and Senator Elizabeth Warren traded words over her pledge to break up big technology companies. New polling shows the Postal Service is the most popular agency in the federal government. And the biggest news this week is a slew of subpoenas from congressional committees as the House begins its formal impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, President Trump says he's trying to find out the identity of a whistleblower in the intelligence community who first raised concerns over Trump asking the Ukrainian president to investigate the Bidens. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions or thoughts about anything going on with the impeachment inquiry and the White House response? What are you curious to find out as it all moves forward? Are you worried with what we know so far? And ultimately, do you want to see a vote on impeachment in the House, a trial in the Senate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Reed Wilson is a national correspondent for The Hill. Reed, welcome back.
Hey, man, fire hose is the exact right term.
That's how I feel, yeah, yeah. So there's been, let's start with subpoenas. We got to start somewhere. Congressional committees saying, hey, we want testimony, some documents related to the Ukraine phone call. What are you watching for when it comes to who is being subpoenaed?
Well, this is a balance of power struggle here, and it's one that the White House is not likely to win. We've seen Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that the State Department employees who have been subpoenaed will not show up to testify before Congress. The Supreme Court has ruled on this in the past, and it doesn't tend to work out well for an administration. What I'm really watching is sort of when the dam breaks. You know, we've got a number of concurrent investigations going on, whether it's the House Judiciary Committee, the House Oversight Committee, of course, the House Intelligence Committee with Congressman Adam Schiff as the chairman over there. And they all have these document requests into the White House or subpoena requests. The President Trump has famously said that he's going to resist basically every subpoena that the Democrats throw at him. Well, at some point, a court is going to force him to comply with some of these subpoenas. And once that dam breaks, it's not likely to be plugged up again. Once the first subpoenas begin to be enforced, there's going to be a rush of documents coming out of the White House.
Now, Secretary Pompeo says his people aren't going to testify, but some of them, or at least past State Department officials, at least a couple of them said, yeah, actually, we are.
Yeah, and we've seen a number of those now former officials, including Kurt Volker, the former liaison to or the special envoy to the Ukraine, say that he will testify. There are going to be some other officials. I can imagine that Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, is going to be either compelled to turn over some documents or come up and actually testify on Capitol Hill. It seemed this week that every time he showed up on Fox News, he dug his own hole a little deeper. So we'll see what he does in front of, you know, questioners who are actually trying to get an answer out of him rather than the friendly confines of Fox News. But this is a, you know, after what has felt like 2 years of incremental movement, if any movement at all, you know, this last couple of weeks has just felt like everything is moving extremely quickly.
This all has a lot to do with this phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo again said this week he was on that phone call. He was listening to that phone call. Here's a listen to the Secretary of State.
As for was I on the phone call, I was on the phone call. The phone call was in the context of now, I guess I've been the Secretary of State for coming on a year and a half. I know precisely what the American policy is with respect to Ukraine. It's been remarkably consistent.
And the key point of that call that people keep coming back to, one of the key points the whistleblower raised, confirmed in the sort of partial transcript released by the White House, is that the president indicated to the president of Ukraine that he wanted him to investigate Biden's. That's still kind of at the heart of this, right, Reid?
It is, but it seems to be rippling outward from there. And right now, Attorney General Bob Barr is in Italy, where he's been meeting with Italian Secret Service. That has something to do with relations to with regard to the Steele dossier, the document that was initially funded by a conservative think tank and then funded by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. This smacks of a huge number of foreign countries being asked to help the actual political prospects of the president of the United States. One of the reporters today, that the president today met with the president of Finland, and one of the questions that a reporter lobbed at the president of Finland was, what has the president of the United States asked you to do? And the president of Finland sort of waved that off and made a little joke about it. But, you know, at this point, that's where we are. We're at multiple countries now that have been, that have confirmed that they've been asked to do something on behalf of President Trump.
Multiple press conferences today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff gave one of them. Here's a listen to some of what Chair Schiff had to say.
If you think about what the framers were concerned about at the time of the drafting of the Constitution, they were paramountly concerned about foreign interference in American affairs. They wanted to ensure that the President of the United States was defending the interests and national security of the United States and not corruptly, secretly advancing some private agenda with a foreign power. It's hard to imagine a set of circumstances that would have alarmed the founders more than what's on that call.
With an impeachment inquiry, Reid, there's been a question of, okay, how wide will the scope be for Democrats? Is that what we just heard there, an indication that they're trying to keep the eye on the ball in this case being the president trying to work with foreign governments related to elections?
That is my understanding for the moment. And Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has said that she wants the impeachment to, inquiry to be narrowly focused. However, there are a number of different strands and sort of layers here. And I'll add that, you know, during the Nixon impeachment, the obstruction of justice charge, the third article of impeachment, was introduced substantially later than the first two that the House Judiciary Committee ended up voting on. So, this can sort of metastasize over time. And if the president faces one charge now but ends up covering up or obstructing the investigation, that can lead to additional charges. You know, what's the old line? It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And if the president is seen as covering up and obstructing a legal, you know, legitimate congressional investigation, that is not going to go well for the White House. And it could be the catalyst for expanding this well beyond, you know, one phone call with Ukraine.
Talking to Reid Wilson from The Hill. It's our weekly look at the latest news in national politics, talking about all the stuff related to impeachment and everything spinning out from that. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Joe is with us in Butler. Joe, hi.
Hello there. Well, my comment was twofold. Number one, Bob Woodward this morning was commenting that he felt that while this singular article of impeachment focusing on this is clear and unambiguous, it may not be enough to motivate the Republicans in the Senate to vote favorably. However, he also, in a different interview, I believe it was he and Charlie Sykes back to back in a couple weeks ago, mentioned that the Senate Rules Committee, if we do get an impeachment out of the House and it goes to the Senate, that the Senate Rules Committee, which is not chaired by Mitch McConnell, could pass a rule for the anonymous balloting of the trial, presided over by the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, according to the Constitution, John Roberts, who is decidedly not in the White House pocket.
Joe, thanks for the call. Reid, that dovetails with something you wrote about. You dug into some of the procedure that would happen if we go through this, if the House votes to impeach the president, it goes to the Senate. Can you first talk a little bit about what Joe had to say?
Right. So this is, and Joe gets to the point that this is a sort of a, we're in a little bit of uncharted waters here. And the Senate has not always had, I mean, the Constitution does not lay out details of the process for impeachment. They lay out the broad overview. So first of all, just to remind everybody of their high school civics, the House impeaches the president, and then the president, the Senate holds a trial that determines whether or not to actually convict him. So the impeachment itself is not the removal from office. So once the House impeaches, the Senate rules say that the Senate must convene a trial that literally the next day. The House impeachment managers will walk over. They'll do some sort of rearranging of the furniture, give them a table up front. And I mean, it's a very complex thing. But the fact, I mean, I spent last week on the phone with, you know, some of the Senate rules experts, and even they didn't exactly know whether or not Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, had to hold a trial. Now, he said this week that he would have no choice but to bring up a trial. But let me throw in a little wrinkle here. There is a provision in the Senate rules that allows any senator to bring up a motion to dismiss the charges. That would take only a simple majority vote. During the Clinton impeachment hearings, Senator Robert Byrd, you know, the master of the Senate, brought up a motion to dismiss. That failed along a party line vote. Remember, Republicans were in charge of the Senate back then. This time around, Republicans are in charge of the Senate. It would only take a simple majority. So that would basically give Democrats, you know, they'd have to peel off three or four Republicans to keep an actual trial going.
Thanks for that call, Joe. Joe mentioned that idea that the Rules Committee could change the rules to make it an anonymous vote by senators. A former Republican senator said something like, yeah, if there was an anonymous vote, 25 or something like that, Republicans would vote against the president. Is that something that could actually happen?
You know, that I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
I did not come across that in reading the rules or Congressional Research Service has done a long look at impeachments in the past. But, you know, I mean, this does reflect the fact that, you know, we've only done this twice. We've only impeached a president twice in our nation's history, or rather had the trial twice in our nation's history. Nixon resigned before he was actually impeached. So Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton are our only two examples. And the Senate has, you know, last revised their impeachment rules only as recently as 1986. So, you know, there are some rules that are meant to be rewritten, and we may be rewriting it now.
Talking about the week's top political news with Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and thoughts about the latest in the impeachment efforts. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Reed Wilson, national correspondent for The Hill, looking at the week's political news. Back to your calls now on things related to impeachment. Marcus is with us now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Good afternoon, Rob. So I feel that we're at a point in our country's history that we need to set aside the partisan political gamesmanship and really have some of our leaders in government step up and really take a statesman type role, because if they don't, we may regret this point in our history and look back and realize that it might have been something that did damage to the fragile representative democracy and the light that is in the world.
Marcus, thanks a lot for the call. Reed, Marcus taking a long view. Do you see that argument coming from people, say, in Congress, for example?
We see it a little bit. There are glimpses. Now, I mean, this is a really fraught moment where the entire, you know, all the spotlight is basically on Senate Republicans right now and what they're going to do. And virtually any Senate Republican who votes to acquit President Trump is going to be accused of putting, you know, party over country and things like that, regardless of what the evidence is. If the evidence is very slim and sort of a flimsy case, they'll be assailed just as much as if it's an ironclad sort of gift that the House Democrats give to them. We've heard a few senators. You know, I mentioned that motion to dismiss and whether or not there would be enough senators who would be peeled off in order to deny a motion to dismiss right after the trial begins. And we've heard comments from at least one senator, Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, who has voiced some serious concerns about this call between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. And there are, you know, a few other senators. You mentioned Jeff Flake, the former senator, who said in an NPR interview earlier this week that there may be as many as 35 senators who could peel off and vote against President Trump if it were a secret ballot. There's a big difference between a secret ballot and a public ballot. President Trump has a massive command on the Republican Party right now. We'll see how many senators are willing to buck that if the evidence is sufficient. But like, let's let the evidence come in first. Let's not race to say that any vote either way is a vote for party over country.
Bring on another caller. Tom is with us in Port Wing. Tom, hi.
Hi. My question is this. If the Democrats called for impeachment right after the president was elected and not even inaugurated, how can you build support amongst the people, which you will need, even amongst Democrats, in order to actually impeach the president when you're just fulfilling a prophecy that you had made after the election?
Tom, thanks for the call. And that's a question that it seems, Reid, to have held Speaker Nancy Pelosi up, the concern that public opinion was not there when it came to impeachment until a week ago, basically.
Yeah, and now we've already started to see the needle moving. It's amazing. If the president is impeached, and if he is either removed or he loses re-election next year, we're going to look back at this last week with the reports of the phone call with the president of Ukraine as the serious tipping point and one that changed the course of this part of American history. I have not seen, you know, Robert Mueller's report came out. It looked pretty, once you actually read through it, it was a pretty remarkable document, but it was not enough to shift public opinion. This has actually shifted public opinion. And, you know, Democrats have been in favor of impeachment. Democratic voters have been in favor of impeachment. We're starting to see movement among independents. And most troubling to President Trump, we're even starting to see a little bit of movement among Republicans who say, yeah, it's time to open an inquiry, even if they're not on board with the full impeachment yet.
Tom, thanks for the call. One more thread on this before we visit the post office. President Trump, you mentioned he had a press conference today. He addressed comments from Representative Adam Schiff at a congressional hearing. Here's a listen to the president.
He should resign from office in disgrace. And frankly, they should look at him for treason because he is making up the words of the president of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning, and it's a disgrace. It should not be allowed to happen.
He's referring to Representative Schiff, paraphrasing the president's comments in kind of a mocking way. And he said the president, you know, said this is the intent, but not the words. Schiff had said that originally. People are looking at the president throwing around words like treason, tweeting comments from other people about a civil war. Should the president leave office? The president's tone over the last week, Reid.
It's remarkable. This press conference we saw today was a press conference held by a very angry man and somebody who is increasingly feeling backed into a corner. I think the White House has been taken aback by just how fierce the anger and sort of blowback to this phone call has been. It doesn't seem like they really have a plan. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the White House's strategy to deal with this is, aside from continuing to attack Joe Biden and continuing to attack Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, a person who approximately 2% of Americans know who he actually is. That number is going to grow in the next few months if he becomes sort of the centerpiece of this impeachment inquiry. But, you know, aside from attacking the messenger and questioning the credibility of the whistleblower whose complaint has been verified by documents that the White House has issued themselves, you know, it doesn't feel like a lot of a strategy. And I think it points to the fact that this is a White House that has not made the preparations that, say, Bill Clinton's White House did in advance of his impeachment, or even Richard Nixon's White House did. So this is a troubling moment, and one in which President Trump very clearly feels backed into a corner.
Talking to Reid Wilson, national correspondent for The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national news. Switch gears here, Reid, to something you talked about, survey data out from Pew Research Center about the federal agencies viewed most favorably by the public. Who wins?
Yeah, I love this. You know, Americans right now believe that the federal government does not do the right thing the vast majority of the time. A very small percentage of Americans think that the federal government gets it right. But when you talk about individual agencies within the federal government, we really like a lot of them. 90% of Americans have a favorable opinion of the U.S. Postal Service, 86% of the National Park Service, you know, and NASA's at 81%, CDC's at 80%. Heck, even the FBI, 70% of Americans have a favorable opinion. So there's a really funny difference there. We don't think that the federal government is doing the right thing, but these individual agencies, yeah, they're getting it right most of the time.
It's kind of like the surveys where, yeah, nobody likes Congress, but everybody likes their own congressional representative, or a lot of people like their own representative.
And I guess everybody likes getting mail every day.
So the IRS, right, the tax people, they even had net favorable. Did I read that right?
That's right. 55% of Americans see the IRS favorably. Only 40% see them unfavorably. As a matter of fact, of the 16 agencies that the Pew Research Center asked about, only one agency had a net unfavorable rating, and that was ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which, of course, has been at the heart of President Trump's immigration policies, the most controversial immigration policies of the last couple of years. So even groups like, you know, the Veterans Affairs Administration, which is a department which has had such a terrible last decade and a half, they're even seen favorably by more people than see them unfavorably. The Department of Justice, which is, again, at the centerpiece of a lot of President Trump's most controversial issues, has a net favorable rating. So we tend to like our agencies. It's funny how that happens.
And ICE, you saw a big partisan split on that.
Right. Even though it's seen net unfavorably, 70% of Republicans say they see ICE favorably, whereas just 19% of Democrats do. And that was the widest gap. The funny thing about this poll is that the vast majority of federal agencies, Democrats and Republicans, pretty much see eye to eye. You know, there's a point or two difference between the number of Dems and the number of Republicans who see the Postal Service favorably or the CIA or something like that. But as we get down to ICE, that's the one government agency that really divides the partisans. Almost three quarters of Republicans and just one fifth of Democrats see ICE favorably.
So for the presidential candidates out there, running on a strong U.S. Postal Service platform could be the way to go? I don't know what that would be.
For heaven's sake, don't raise the price of stamps anymore. Huh?
Reed, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon.
That's Reed Wilson, national correspondent for The Hill. He joined us for a look at the week in Washington. By the way, tomorrow on Central Time, we'll talk to David Greenberg, professor of history and journalism and media studies at Rutgers. He wrote a piece over at Politico cautioning people against comparing this current impeachment case about President Trump to previous cases, including Presidents Andrew Johnson, Richard Nixon, and Bill Clinton. He will join us to compare and contrast to tell us why some of the past lessons may not apply to today's. And in the meantime, you can still let us know what you think about the impeachment inquiry or maybe a question for our guest historian tomorrow. You can let us know your thoughts and questions. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or send us an email. Send it. Our producer will look at it right away. You can always email us at ideas@WPR.org.